Today's digest for Saturday, June 27, 2026. 10 stories today, covering frontier model access, AI security research, and the developer's changing craft. We start in Washington, where the government is now deciding who gets to use the most capable AI models. We move through fresh research on whether AI can attack and defend a network on its own, and we close with a blunt take on what software work becomes from here. Here's the rundown. We begin with a major shift in how the most powerful AI models reach the public. The Trump administration has authorized Anthropic to release its Mythos 5 model to more than 100 specific United States companies and agencies, reversing a ban it had imposed just 2 weeks earlier. Mythos 5 is Anthropic's cybersecurity-focused system, built for defending critical infrastructure. The original restriction pulled both Mythos 5 and a model called Fable 5 off the market after researchers reportedly bypassed their safety guardrails, and it barred non-American staff from using them. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick said, "Appropriate safeguards are now in place to let certain trusted partners use it." The new order also lets non-American employees at those organizations, including Anthropic's own international staff, back in. The status of Fable 5 was left unresolved. The same pattern is playing out at OpenAI. The company has limited the rollout of its new GPT 5.6 lineup to a small group of trusted partners, a list it shared with the government after the Trump administration requested the restriction on safety grounds. The lineup has three models, a flagship called Sol, a balanced model called Terra, and a faster, cheaper one called Luna. OpenAI says Sol matches Anthropic's Mythos 5 on performance while using about a third as many output tokens. Unlike the quieter Anthropic arrangement, OpenAI pushed back in public, saying it does not believe this government access process should become the long-term default, and calling the limited preview a short-term step. One incoming OpenAI advisor, Dean Ball, warned that asking labs to voluntarily submit their models creates what amounts to an involuntary licensing regime for frontier AI. Stepping back from the frontier labs, a sharp piece of analysis this week asks how far behind the open-weight models really are. Writing for Double Word, Jamie D. Boren pushed past the headline number everyone quotes. On a single popular intelligence index, the gap between open and closed models looked like it was closing towards zero. But when DeBoren averaged across 18 separate benchmarks, the lag stayed almost completely flat for the whole period at just under 5 months. The one bright spot was coding, where open models closed the distance from about 15 months behind to only a month or two. His conclusion is a caution against cherry-picking. Whether open source is catching up depends entirely on which benchmark you choose to believe, and on most of them the gap has held steady rather than vanished. All of these models run on hardware, and the companies behind them increasingly want to build their own. A TechCrunch discussion this week traced how OpenAI, Google, Apple, and even SpaceX are designing custom silicon to loosen their dependence on NVIDIA, which has dominated the AI chip market for years. OpenAI's effort is an inference chip code named Jalapeno, built in partnership with Broadcom. The motivation is partly control, hardware tuned to a company's exact workloads, the way Apple's processors took off once it dropped Intel. It is also a hedge against leaning on a single supplier for the most strategically important component in the industry. The framing was telling. Nobody is abandoning NVIDIA outright, but the era of total dependence on one vendor may be starting to end. Now to security and an encouraging test of how well AI assistants hold up under attack. The developer, Fernando Irarrázaval, set up a public challenge. He stood up a test assistant, gave it secrets to protect, and invited anyone to extract them by sending it crafted emails. Roughly 2,000 people tried, racking up around 6,000 attempts and about $500 in token costs. Nobody succeeded. The assistant ran on Anthropic's Opus 4.6, with explicit instructions never to reveal its credentials or act on commands buried in incoming mail. Simon Willison, writing up the result, said the effort labs have put into training frontier models to resist injection attacks does appear to be making them much harder to pull off. He added the obvious caveat, 6,000 failed attempts is no guarantee that a more sophisticated attacker could not get through. Staying with AI and security, confidence in fully autonomous penetration testing has cooled noticeably this year. Reporting from Dark Reading describes security teams growing less willing to trust AI to probe their own systems for weaknesses without a human watching. The complaints are consistent. Blind spots in what the tools notice, too many false positives, critical vulnerabilities missed entirely, and unpredictable costs. Names from across the offensive security world, from COBOL to HackerOne, are coalescing around a hybrid model instead. In that approach, AI handles the broad, repetitive sweep, while human experts supply the validation, the judgment, and the risk prioritization that the models still cannot. It is a notable correction after a couple of years of expecting AI to simply replace the human tester. One story this week shows AI tipping the other way as a defender. a Canadian developer, Matthew Mastracci, published a careful dissection of a targeted attack aimed squarely at him. It began as a friendly recruiting pitch from someone claiming to represent a venture firm, complete with a fake profile, real-sounding portfolio companies, and a video call. The supposed technical test was a code repository he was asked to evaluate, and it hid a remote access Trojan that would have run the moment he built the project. What saved him was a habit worth noting. Instead of running the unfamiliar code, he handed the repository to Claude for review, and the model quickly flagged the suspicious build behavior and the hidden payload. Mastracci stresses how subtle the warning signs were, and how easily the same trick could target a developer working in almost any language. From a targeted attack to a newly disclosed flaw in a tool many engineers live inside. The maintainers of the Vim text editor have shipped a fix for an arbitrary code execution bug in its C language auto-completion feature. In affected versions, data drawn from a project's tag file could be turned into commands the editor would run, which means simply opening a malicious code repository and using completion could put a developer at risk. The flaw is fixed in version 9.2.0735, and it was reported by a researcher at a firm called Causal Security. A formal vulnerability identifier was still pending at the time of disclosure. The practical advice is the ordinary kind: update Vim and stay wary of invoking editor features inside code you pulled from a source you do not trust. On the breach front, the bill for one of last year's worst attacks came into sharper focus. According to reporting in the New York Times, Russian hackers were behind the cyber attack that crippled Jaguar Land Rover, though investigators say it is still unclear whether they worked for the Russian state, operated as ordinary criminals, or sat somewhere in between. The intrusion halted production for months at one of Britain's largest manufacturers, and the estimated cost to the British economy now stands at around $2.5 billion. The United Kingdom government stepped in with a £1.5 billion bailout loan. The response pulled in an unusually broad cast, including Microsoft, the FBI, Britain's National Crime Agency, and the incident response firm Mandiant. Investigators also found that a second, unrelated hacker had breached parts of the same network. We close with a provocation about the job itself. In a wide-ranging interview from AI Engineer Miami, Jeffrey Huntley argues that writing code and being a software engineer have quietly become different things. Anyone can now generate working software with a coding agent, he says. But that does not make them an engineer, and developers who cannot explain how those agents actually work are limiting their own careers. He predicts that seat-based software pricing will wobble as teams need fewer people, that most companies will take 2 to 3 years to genuinely adapt, and that the curious will pull away from everyone else. His sharpest line: if you have not been curious in the last 2 years, you are replaceable. He frames AI less as a tool and more as a musical instrument, something you only get good at through deliberate practice. That's the digest for June 27th. 10 stories spanning who controls the frontier models, how AI is reshaping both attack and defense, and what all of it means for the people who actually build software. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again tomorrow.